Welcome. I'm Faye Waterman, the conversation curator, and this is What's Your Superpower, the podcast. And my guest is Deborah Duett. And Deborah is a mother of three children, a grandmother of seven, a wife, and a mentor. She guides others through the practice of love-centered alignment, journaling and self-discovery, highlighting the importance and positivity of focusing on our inner being. She has specialized in personal development and wellness for over 35 years, starting as a physical therapist and personal development training facilitator in South Africa. She became a massage therapist in the United States, and simultaneously, she taught for another personal development organization while raising three children and prioritizing her personal development journey. Inspired by her 12-year-old granddaughter, her experience working with gymnasts on their physical and mental well-being, and co-hosting the Happy Neighborhood Project, Deborah has published guided journals for youth and adults. Welcome, Deborah, and thank you so much for your time.
Hello, Faye. It's good to be here with you.
It's great to have you here, and you've had an amazing journey of doing what you've done. Share a little bit of your backstory and how you got to do the things you did and how you got to where you are today. And on the way, I want you to recognize your magic, your brilliance, your superpowers.
All right. Well, I was born in Zimbabwe, raised in South Africa, and it was at a time when kids were seen and not heard. That was kind of the underlying atmosphere that I was brought up with. And my father was in the military, and he would say, jump, and we would ask how high afterwards. So it was a pretty strict upbringing. I then got married and moved to the United States, and I had three kids. And 15 years later, I got divorced, so I was a single mom. And I realized that my kids needed to know that they could be okay and take care of themselves when I was not there. I can remember an incident that I had. I was sitting on the staircase in the house. The kids were gone. And I can remember wailing and screaming at God, I can't protect them when they're not with me. And when all the wailing subsided and I got calmed down, I remember hearing, it's not your job to protect them from life. It's your job to be their space to come home to. And that's what triggered for me to make sure that they had tools to be able to take care of themselves when they weren't with me. For example, one of the tools that I was taught by a very dear friend was it's called filling your love cup. And what that is when a child is having a big emotion or the energy running through their body is just overwhelming to them, take them aside and just say to them, do you need your love cup filled? And they know that means come and sit on mom's lap and look in her eyes for the love that's there for you. And it takes all of a few seconds. They calm down, they feel seen, they feel heard. They feel acknowledged, and whatever was happening has dissipated. And my youngest daughter was probably about five at the time. She had gone to her dad's house and she came home and she said, Mom, I needed my love cup filled. And I said to her, sweetheart, well, did you go and ask your dad or your stepmom to help you? And she said, no, Mom, they don't know that stuff. So I said, well, did you ask your brother or sister? She said, no, Mom, they weren't there. I said, well, what did you do? She said, Mom, I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror in my own eyes for the love that I had there for myself.
Oh, that is beautiful. What was it? I'm going to ask you, I'm going to take a step back for a moment. What was
Sure.
it like for you when you were growing up, when children were seen and not heard? How was it for you? Did you move around a lot being in a military family, that sort of thing?
We didn't move around too much because it was in South Africa. He was in the commandos there. We had moved maybe twice, but it wasn't for military. It was more for his work. It was a part-time military, if you can put it that way. They had the commandos where they would go up to the borders and patrol the borders. He had been gone for like 3 months out of the year at times. One of my mom's favorite stories was when my dad was gone. I was probably about three or four. And I said to her, "I'm not eating till daddy comes home." And she said, "I didn't eat for 3 days." And eventually she took me to the calendar and said, "Look, this is how long he's going to be gone." So I said, "Oh, well, maybe I better eat then."
You just didn't understand because you were so young that he was gone for a period of time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Who inspired you as a young person? Anyone?
My favorite person in the whole world was my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. She was my best friend, and she was the person who saw me. I think also she had a brain tumor when I was about three or four, and so she reverted to that kind of that age. So she and I were friends and played together. Then she had the tumor removed, and she was great, but she was my safe space.
How beautiful is that to have a grandmother who is your safe space? I'm wondering whether that happens a lot these days with the busy life that families lead. But you have three children,
Yes.
and they're grown up now. Do they have families of their own?
They do. My oldest daughter is actually pregnant with grandbaby number seven.
Wow.
She has two beautiful kids. She has a girl and a boy. Just amazing kids, just absolutely amazing. And then my son, who was the oldest, had four kids. And his oldest daughter is the one I wrote the journals for, but he passed away 6 years ago. So when Alexandra was 6 years old, her dad passed away. And that's what ins that along with what I grew did with my children, inspired me to write the journals that I've written. Because I wanted her to know that whether her dad was there or not, she could live a beautiful life.
So when the thought came into your mind about writing or putting a journal together so that children, but your granddaughter, could write her thoughts, her feelings, her emotions, memories, those sorts of things. What was the moment that you decided that that's what you wanted to do?
I wrote it. I wrote the journal as a love letter to her. I had a one-on-one with Ian Kingwell, and we were chatting. And he said, we were talking, shooting the breeze, and he was asking what I did and what I loved. And I said, "Oh, well, I've created this love letter to my granddaughter." And he said, "You just lit up like the sun. This is where you should be, and we need that for our kids." And so I formed it into a journal that kids could use. And what it does is it has questions in it. And so they write out things like, one of the questions is, three things I can do when I feel sad. So now, next time they feel sad, they can remember, "Oh, I wrote down, I love listening to music." So now they can listen to music, which will help elevate their state and help them out of that sadness a little easier, make the sadness not become so ingrained in who they are, so that they are someone who is feeling sad, but they are not sadness. And then there's a quote in the middle of the page, and then at the bottom of the page, which I love, is the best thing that happened in my day today is. And the reason I say is and not was, because if we go past tense, they're trying to remember it. When you give a child an is, they become that again. They re-experience that experience.
That's a really important thing, isn't it? To be in the present moment at all times, because that is all we have. We can write things that were past, but we can write them in the present moment because that's where we were in the present moment. So when we reread it or go back to it, we read it in the present moment. So it gives us that gift of whatever's being written there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
And then they have a section in there where they can write down things I choose to affirm about myself.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm strong, I'm wonderful, I love doing this, I love doing that, just so that they can reiterate it for themselves. And to me, writing it out is so important because there's a magic in the writing, in using the pen and the ink.
Oh,
It just
absolutely.
seems to really ingrain it a little deeper into your being. And that's actually why I refuse to put the books out as digital.
Oh, you know what? I love a pen and paper, and I will have. I'm just looking around me now, and I've got pads, and I write, and I have multiple pens with multiple colors. And whatever inspires me at the moment, I'll write in that color. And I think that to be able to express yourself on paper in the now is better than typing it on a computer. It can be in the now when you read it on the computer or you can print it out, but it's still not the same as writing it in your handwriting. And I was having a conversation with somebody the other day who said it's the memory of a grandparent who wrote a letter in their own handwriting that's important. It's not the typed or the digital, it's the real handwriting and seeing how they wrote. And that is a memory in itself without even the words that they've written.
Exactly. I love that.
So, what you've created is a tool for children to be able to feel safe, comfortable, and to be able to express themselves in the moment of how they feel, write it down, but then reflect on it. And understand that that isn't where I need to be. I can be happy, I can dance, I can sing, I can write, I can do anything. Giving them the confidence and the self-awareness to be them.
Exactly. And what I love is that by writing that, the best thing that happened in my day today is it's starting to get them to focus on those little pieces in life that are good. Because a lot of people tend to focus on what didn't go right in the day. And now, with the journal that I have, the parents, it's helping the parents get into that state as well, because it asks the parents, one thing I did for my mind, one thing I did for my body, one thing I did for my spirit, and one thing I appreciated about myself.
Okay, we were just talking about the the children's journal, but you've
Yep.
also been inspired to write an adult journal for adults to embrace who they are and look at it and be aware that they have a magic and a beauty and a brilliance and all those sorts of things inside them that they can express themselves. And Deborah, you've taken what you've done for children and taken it into a new perspective for adults who have lived part of their life, but maybe just taken most of it for granted, maybe looked at their life and thought, well, I haven't really done anything, or, I'm not that good at anything or whatever, but you've created something so that they could recognize who they are and how they can be the person that they've been, live their purpose and
Yes.
be the person they want to be.
My favorite part of the adult book that I created is the daily bedtime love note.
Okay, explain that.
And that's a note that they write to themselves every night before bed, which starts out, "Dear beloved," and then their name. And then they can go through their day. "I'm so proud of how you handled the situation today. I love how much you loved on your kids today. I loved the freedom that you felt when you realized that you had accomplished something." So now they get to write that out and re-experience that just before bed, so that they can go to bed in the bubble of that goodness.
I love that. I think, and it's recognizing how they have processed things, how they've either responded or reacted to something, and they can look at it and be proud of how they changed that. And
Exactly.
it's that recognition of when they
Yes.
come up against whatever it is, if it's the same thing or a similar thing. How they process that can be totally different to the way they did it in the first instant.
Exactly.
So it's giving them the opportunity to be able to recognize their thoughts, their feelings, and how they act to a
Yes.
situation.
Yes. And the reason I did the adult one as well was so that the parents and the kids can journal together. They can have a journaling time together so the parents are modeling for the kids. Because kids will do what, follow what you do more than what you say. So if they can model that for the kids, now you have the kids and the parents looking at the really good stuff about themselves. And now that's creating a whole atmosphere of positivity for family. And there is a section in the kids' journal where I have obstacles I overcame in my day. So that if something didn't quite go the way they thought it could go or should go, they can write it out, get it out. And then what did I do to help myself through that? And what can I do differently next time?
So I'll come back to that recognition of learning and improving and being your better self every day. Deborah, what is it that inspires you so much with this? Do you get people who've bought the journals come back to you and say, I love this and what they've learnt about themselves.
The biggest one is, of course, first and foremost for me always is my grandkids. And the girl that I wrote it for, her mom says she can see such a difference in her as to how she's stepping out into life. She has seen that my granddaughter tends to be a perfectionist, and so she hesitates to do things because she doesn't think she's going to do it right. And she said that she's seen that calm down a lot for her.
So making a difference is what
Yeah,
it's all about, making a difference.
absolutely. Absolutely. I love my biggest passion is to see people shine.
Oh, absolutely. See people shine is amazing. It's like, wow. What inspired you to do the things that you have done in your life before you came to where you are today? What inspired you to do, the work that you've done? You're a physical therapist and a personal development trainer facilitator. What does this mean? What was it that you were doing when you were doing that? And how did it make you feel?
As a physical therapist and then as a massage therapist, it for me was always about getting somebody to feel the best that they could feel. So, I was always looking at how we could not only shift your point of view about whatever's going on, the pain, the discomfort, but also look at how can we extend that and keep that going. One of my great passions was also working with the gymnasts. I was their therapist, their physical therapist. So not only was I working on their body to loosen the muscles, but while they were with me, they always talk, they always let you know their life story. And I would love being able to talk to them and say to them, okay, how about if we look at it this way, just a little different to the way you're looking at it? How does that feel for you? And I absolutely loved seeing the light go on in it. Oh my God, I can do that.
And that again is recognition. And it's giving people hope. What did it give you?
Gratitude, a deep sense of gratitude that I could assist somebody to see the best in themselves.
Is
It
it
to
that?
me is, go ahead.
Is it that you made a difference in someone's life?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
That's the feeling I get. It's the feeling I get from you when you talk. What else did you get from it? What do you think that your superpowers are? I can see them, but what do you see? What do you see? What are your strengths? What is your magic? What is your brilliance? What are your superpowers?
I think one of my biggest ones that I've always had is I can build space for someone.
Holding space is a huge one.
I can allow them to go through whatever they need to be going through without judging it, without trying to change it, without trying to fix it, but stand in such awe that they have the courage to face that. And I can stand beside them.
Beautiful. What else?
Oh my goodness. I think one of my superpowers is that I look at life differently.
In what way? How do you look at life differently? How do you say you look at life differently? Because I can say I look at life differently, which I know I do, but it'd be
Yeah.
different to the way you look at it. So explain why you say that about you and what it is that makes it different for you.
I can step into the space and notice what is happening, and I can shift it.
Okay. And is that a, when you step into that space, you get a feel for the energy that is happening within that space.
Yes, I work very much on energetics. I did always as a therapist. A lot of what I did was it 90% of what I was doing was energetics, and 10% was having my hands on someone. I'll give you an example of a very interesting thing that happened. I had a friend whose daughter was in labor, and I was in the middle of a massage. And when I'm working, I would never leave the room. That was my time. I was focused with that person. That's what I was doing. And for some reason, I kept being called out of the room. And eventually I said, okay, let me just go and see what's going on. And I went out and I had a look at my phone, and she said, please, can you help? The baby's stuck. If you can do something, please. I said, look, I'm in the middle of a massage. I'll see what I can do when I'm finished. I went back in, and I was working on this person, and my consciousness split. And I was working, but I was also in the labor room. I don't talk about this particular thing often, but so I was in the labor room, and for some reason, it kept saying, pull the baby back in. Which is counterintuitive because you want the baby to come out. And so I said, okay, and I helped bring the baby back up into the womb out of the canal. And then that kind of flashed, finished, and I went back into the massage room. And I finished doing the massage, and the lady came out and she said, oh my gosh, I don't know what you were doing, but that was the best massage I've ever had in my entire life.
Amazing. Deborah, that is amazing that you have the energy to be able to hold space for the person that you're working with, but also hold space for that person that has asked for your help. And that is a gift very few people would have to be able to do that. I think that gift is a special superpower. And I feel that there is something else that you need to do. Don't ask me what it is, but we'll talk about that. There's something else that you need to do in this life, as well as the journals.
And just to end the story, I got a text from my friend to say, thank you so much for your help. What had happened was the baby's head had gone down and there was still water. So it formed like a cork. And by pulling the baby back, the fluid came out and then the baby was born.
That is incredible. That is beautiful. That is a beautiful story. And it is
Oh, thank you.
beautiful energy in that. Not only did you support that woman through her pregnant a birth, created a safe space for that baby to be born and live a life. That's huge.
And that was one of the other things that I did was I was a labor coach, a volunteer labor coach for a long time. And so I was always there when the little ones arrived. And for me, one of the most amazing things to note was that baby lying there was the boss of their own story. They were going to make absolutely every decision in their life. We could influence it and help them, but every choice was made by them.
Gives me goosebumps. What is it? There's something special about the energy that you give out. Obviously, particularly to the people that you've worked with, who trust you, and the energy that you have as there's a birthing process happening for that child that's being born. A lot of intuition.
Yeah.
What would you say? There's so much that we can talk about. What would you say to people who are listening to this podcast about giving them a couple of tips on how to embrace who they are?
I think the biggest and the first thing to do is touch your chest, touch your heart center, because once you touch there, now you're connected. And just love and love and love that spot. It is so important for us to love ourselves and embrace who we are. But the way to start doing that is to touch there, feel it, and just give that love. Give that love. One of the things that I love to do for all my kids and grandkids at night, I will, when I go to bed, very often I'll put one hand on my heart and hold the other hand up and just call in each child. And then I breathe out my love to them and then breathe in their love for me. And we do that. And just connect that way. They live in Texas. I live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So we're far away. But by doing that, they still feel connected to me. So if that's something you want to do for your child, that's a beautiful thing to do. The reason I told the story was the one day I had gotten to the point that I was exhausted, I was tired, and I was going to do the process, and I just didn't have it in me to connect with them. And so I thought, well, okay, I can still feel the love. But you know what? I'm going to take that to all the pieces of me as a child that had felt so unloved and so unwanted. And I'll send that love to that piece of me. And I didn't think anything about it again. After I'd done it, I went to sleep. And a day or two later, I was standing in the kitchen baking, because I make vegan gluten-free buns for my husband and I every day. That's our lunch. And I was standing there mixing the mix, and I had this flash. It happened in seconds. But I had this flash of all those pieces that I'd sent love to, and they all lined up and came into me.
That's beautiful.
That was an amazing experience.
There's no words that can describe that for me, but for you, it is, and it gives me a feel of energy that there is hope for everyone in this world to have love in their life, whether it's love for themselves, which is a must. We must love
Yes.
ourselves, and then we have the energy to love others and share that.
And what a lot of people don't understand, and this is what I love somebody to hear, is you can't give love from an empty cup. And
Absolutely.
if you're not loving yourself first, you've got nothing to give. So fill yourself up first and then extend it out. It's just like if somebody is in the water and you throw them a life raft, you throw it to them, you don't jump in to get them out if you don't know how to swim. But you need to make sure that you're taking care of, or even like the example of the airplane, put on your mask first before you put it on someone else. And I want people to understand that loving yourself is where everything begins. You wanting to have this amazing life, love yourself.
I will say that we, when I was growing up, I was never taught that. And I think a lot of the time, as children, we're not taught how to love ourselves. And then when we get older and we're told that we must love ourselves and fill our cups up first, that we feel guilty because that's not what's done, but it is what's done. It's
Exactly.
really, really important that we love ourselves, fill our cup up so that we are full and overflowing to share that love with others.
And that's the point. The overflow is what you're sharing, the overflow. That's that I love that, yes. And that's what the journals are about, is to teach the kids to start from that very young age. And to have the adults re-remembering how to do that, or learning for the first time.
Beautiful. Deborah, I want to say thank you so much for your time and your inspiration, your wisdom, your thoughts, your kindness, all of your superpowers and many more of them. And I want to say that I can see there's something else inside you that needs to come out and be created for the world to see and use.
Okay, I will keep a lookout for it.
I'm Faye Waterman. This has been Watch Your Superpower, the podcast. I'll be back again soon. Bye for now.